If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and let's take a look at verse 12. Romans 10, verse 12. And again, as I said at the outset there, we're looking at the doctrine of Romans 9, 10, and 11, and what happened to Israel, that they didn't get the what they seeketh after, as you're going to see, as what is going to be said later on in the verses there. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And you notice he says, for the same Lord. Remember, we've seen before when we were looking at Romans chapter 3, when it says, seeing that there is but one God. And you see here he says, the same Lord. If he was doing two different things, it'd have to be different Lords. Well, let's go to verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you see here it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, there's a lot contained there. Well, let's just do this verse at a time, okay? I'll come back to verse 13 there. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you this here. When it says that one's called upon the name, what they were doing was, they were actually, what that is justification. The person Jesus Christ that they believed on. So what it means about calling on the name of the Lord, because you were justified, they were justified based upon their belief in him. Who's to him? The name. Who's his name? Jesus Christ. We ourselves are told we are baptized in the name. That you know, when we're baptized by one Spirit. And we're in him. In him who? I want to take a look at some things. Come back to the book of Acts. Come back to the book of Acts and make this clear, hopefully, because I'm going to do a study a little later on about this issue, about the name itself, and to bring a little more clarity, because many times you see things like when Jesus was on the earth, and he says that he says certain things like, don't you know I come in my Father's name? And what he means is, when Jesus Christ was there on the earth, he was representing the Father. He was saying, I'm in his stead. So in other words, when you're dealing with me, you're dealing with the Father. And let's just, again, Acts chapter 9. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 9. And let's look at verse 15. Acts 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, two different things here. One, bearing his name is the justification aspect. Suffering for his name's sake, that's the work Paul's going to put in. That's the ministry. And when you're looking at this here, and you notice yourself when we're told what Paul told us over there in 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians, when it came to the whole idea of him suffering, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. That is just things he's suffering for Christ's sake. Now, and you see what the Lord said, for my name's sake. But what I'm after was verse 15. When it says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Now, what that tells you, there's Paul's going to be going out to the people that you just seen here, and he's going to be preaching Jesus. And preaching Jesus is bearing the name. Or that, I don't want to let the cat out the bag yet, but come on, come to John, the book of John. Come to John, chapter 1. And let's look at the whole issue about the name issue here. John, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 10. John 1, verse 10. No, yeah, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, what he's saying is, when he says even to them, he's saying them. These are the ones. This is the ones that got power, is the ones that believe on his name. And believing on his name is they were justified. That's why it says believed on his name. But I'm not going to spend too much time there with that and belabor that issue there about the name issue. Like I say, I'm going to do something a little separately. But come back to Romans. In the meantime, you can always hold your place there in Romans chapter 10, because we're going to be coming back and forth verse by verse there. So let's look at Romans chapter 10 again. Let's look at verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You see, the aspect here is believed. And, you know, I should have told you to hold your place in John, because we're going right back to John, and we're going to chapter 2. So, but remember, hold your place in Romans 10, but come back to Romans, John chapter 2. Come to John chapter 2. Should have had us deal with this when we were here. But didn't. John 2, let's look at verse 18. Then asked the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest us thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now, there's a lot contained there. that the Lord is talking about destroy this temple. In other words, when they were saying they were going to kill him, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, and notice what he says, I will raise it up. You notice the Lord said he will raise it up. And we knew the Father raised him up. And he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise him up, raise it up. And the Bible says in verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. And then that's a whole other study there. But verse 22, it says, and they believed the scripture. So the scripture testified of Jesus. As you see here, the scripture testified that Jesus was to die and be raised again. And that's where Jesus pointed them to. He pointed them to the scripture. We're going to see other verses that say this. But what I was after was verse 23, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. This wasn't the idea they said, oh, we believe he's doing great miracles. We believe he's doing it. Wow, look at those miracles he's doing. Yeah, I believe that's not trickery. That's not what they're saying. They believed in his name. Now, I'll come back to Romans chapter 10 again. Romans chapter 10. Let's take a look at verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? As you see here, it says, it's talking about how shall they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And what Paul is doing, Paul's dealing with Israel who are saying, who can come along and say, hey, we didn't have a preacher come to us. That's not my fault. You can't hold me accountable. God, you're being unjust by the diminishing of us, or our stumbling is not my fault. And that's why but what's being said is that's what you're going to see go on here. And look at verse 16. But have they not all obeyed the gospel? Well, you already know they didn't. But look what he says, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now hold your place here. Let's come back to Isaiah 53. Lord, who hath obeyed our report? Isaiah 53, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Right off the bat, verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now you see revealed. And when you reveal something, you make something known. It comes out your mouth, or it manifests itself in front of you. Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it as our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, as you see here, what's being said about the Lord is he didn't come like the Pharisees, dressed all in purple and silks or soft clothing, like what's being said there about him. And there was no beauty that they should desire. See, but they did desire the Pharisees. That's what the Lord talked about with the Pharisees when he told them how they look like their white temples and things like that. But inside, they're full of dead man bones and things like that. A white sepulcher. On the outside, they look godly. Inside, unjustified. Look at verse 3. He was despised and rejected of men. Of course he was. And this was even before he went to the cross. They said, as it were, they said, we hid, as it were, our face from him. They didn't hide because they were scared of him. They hide because of what this says next. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They were offended by him, and they were despised. Look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's what they did to him. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now there's more there. There's more there in Romans 53, but you get the gist about the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Now come back to Romans chapter 10 again. Come back to Romans 10. Now let's take a look at verse, let's see. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm sorry. Come on with Acts chapter 8. It's sitting right here. Come to Acts chapter 8 because I want to deal with that Isaiah 53 again. Acts chapter 8. We will not be going back to Isaiah. Acts chapter 8. But again, hold your place back at Romans 10 because we will be turning there after this. Acts chapter 8, and let's look at verse 29. Acts 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now I'm going to stop there because as you see here, it says, he desired a man guide him. And do you remember we've seen how shall they preach except they be sent? And you're going to see that they're acting like, you know, like in verse 14 of Romans, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? But let's go. Let's keep on here. Let's look at verse 32. And it says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, he's reading Isaiah 53, where we just read from. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He's preaching Jesus out of Isaiah 53. And that's not saying, and so then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he just read the scripture, and then he says, okay, we're done. But, oh yeah, I'm going to preach unto you Jesus now. That's not what he's saying is Isaiah 53 is the scriptures foretelling Jesus. It speaks about Jesus. And you know it does because come back over to Romans chapter 10 again. Come over to Romans 10. Look at verse 16. But have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right here it says, we should come to that conclusion based upon what Isaiah 53 says. That's why it says, so then faith come by hearing. And the only way you can know that is by getting what he's talking about out of as it is written, the scriptures. Look at verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke to you jealousy by them which are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. Now, and looking at this here, you have to wonder, you have to say, well, what does this mean? Have they not heard? And their sound went into all the earth. Did that happen? Well, this said it did. And we believe what God's word says, we're going to know that that's what this says. It went everywhere. They had a chance to hearken onto it. But let's read on down. Verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not of me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand to disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, this is saying in verse 18, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. What's it talking about? It's talking about the prophets. It's talking about the apostles. Their words went to the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? And he says, first Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. And testimony was given all the way back from to Moses until Abraham and to Moses. A testimony was given unto them. That song of Moses over there in Exodus, that was sung, it speaks about Israel being some God offering to them and they being rebellious. And when it says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, he's talking about the little flock is the ones that were called no people or and a foolish nation by the ones that were unjustified, who thought they were in Moses' seat. That's the Israel that he's talking about that did not, verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? He's not talking about the little flock. That's not what he's saying here. But let's look at verse 20. Isaiah is very bold and saith, I found them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked of me. Now there's two different people, two different groups of people that he's speaking of there. He says, I was found of them that sought me not. And he says, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. That's two different groups of people. And he says, But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that's what they wanted to do. It was about the gainsay. To get one up on the other guy. To always have something to say with no doctrine. And let's take a look at Matthew. Take a look at Matthew. Come to Matthew. We're going to look at some verses here. To even look at the fact that Israel should have known. Did they not know? Well, let's see. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. And you're going to see Moses preached unto them. The prophets preached unto them. And we're going to see here that John the Baptist also preached unto them. And when he was in the wilderness, this was when Israel was to acknowledge their offense. This was when they were supposed to acknowledge how they were falling short there. And this is what we see take place in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, you don't have to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, it talks about, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And it's talking about two groups of people there. It says that her iniquity is a pardon, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And it's talking about John. So let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at verse 4. Matthew 3, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and of leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then they went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, I'm going to stop there. This says they were baptized of him, confessing their sins. We looked at the whole issue about confession, you know, and you got to understand, only a justified Israelite was going to get baptized. And that's why the Pharisees, they didn't get baptized. It just got wet there. But that confession and what that was about, we dealt with that over there in verse 9. But let's look at verse 7 here. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, ye old generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. But think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into his garner, and he will burn the chaff with a quenchable fire. You see the Lord giving witness. Well, I mean, you see John the Baptist giving witness here about the Lord. What he will. He's not speaking of himself. He's speaking of one that's going to come after him. And he gave witness to Israel. He put him on notice there. Now, come over to John chapter 8, and let's look at verse 24, and we're going to see the Lord himself giving witness. And there's so much I'd like to read out of this one chapter here, but it's a lengthy chapter. There's about 30 verses we can look at, and you yourself can look at. And the Lord himself, he's giving notice unto the Pharisees. And they're going back and forth. But look at what the Lord says here, and he's giving witness to them. In verse 24, John 8, verse 24. And I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Now, as you see here, because they didn't believe in him, they were going to die in their sins. And it'll be unjustified because they didn't believe in his name. So he didn't say anything about they got to be baptized. And because if you don't believe, you're not believing that he is who he says he is, they're going to die in their sins. Look at verse 25. And they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same manner that I have said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and judge you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things, which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Faith came by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see here, verse 30, he spake the words. What happened? Many believed on him. Believing on what? Believing on his name. He didn't die yet. Well, he didn't have to die when you're believing on the name. See, I'm going to give you a little example here, and that's why I said I'm going to do another study just on the issue about the name. Because when the Lord died on the cross, we're told we're justified by his blood. Okay? We're told that we're justified by his death and things like that. Okay? But the idea is who? Jesus. It's the same person. It's the same person, whether he, it doesn't matter what he did, but the same person made the sacrifice redemption is in that person. Israel found redemption in the Lord based upon what they believed in the Redeemer, that the Redeemer is going to provide for them all these things. He's going to provide their justification first and foremost. And with us, we look upon what he accomplished as the blood. His death accomplished those things. Now, let's come over to the book of Acts. Come over to the book of Acts, and let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Now, there's more to this than this here, but as you see, Peter is also given witness. He's also given witness to Israel. And when we see him in Acts chapter 2 say, therefore let all the house of Israel assuredly know. And that's everyone. All the house. They were there for Pentecost. They were all in town from everywhere else, scattered abroad. And sure, there were some disciples that weren't at John's baptism, like we see over in Acts 19 about those disciples that didn't know whether they'd be any Holy Ghost. They were disciples, and they knew John's baptism. They might have been out there witnessing the gospel to other saints. Well, we weren't saints at the time, but as going back here, as you see, Peter was out giving doctrine to the people. And he was telling them, hey, This is your Messiah. You reject him. And they didn't take heed. Now let's take a look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And I know you all are familiar with the verses here. Because this is when Stephen was stoned, being full of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts 7, verse 51. Acts chapter 7. Let's look at verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, do you remember when we looked at Luke chapter 7 and we looked at how they rejected the counsel of God? And that's what they did. They rejected the counsel. That's what they were doing. It wasn't like they were just, you know, what they were saying was going against what this guy says here, standing in front of them. And they're like, oh, this guy's crazy. And no, this guy was full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost there. And in Luke 7, it says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of him. And as you see here in Acts chapter 7, when it says Acts chapter 7, verse 51, because you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. That's what's said. That's what's being said there. Look at verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers. Wait a minute. This says that the prophets and fathers foretold of the coming of Jesus Christ? Well, of course they did. Verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And you see what's going on there. Let's come back to Romans 10 now. And hopefully, with the verses you've been given, it can make things a lot clearer now. Come to Romans 10. Let's look at verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Yeah, well, now you should be able to say, well, of course they did. The prophets preached about them. As the verse has shown, the prophets preached Jesus. Philip knew. Philip knew what Isaiah was talking about. And Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's standing up there and saying that they showed before, not just foretold, they showed it. They made it so plain and clear. It was as if they were in that day themselves. That's how clear they made it. They showed it. And it was clear. Israel did know. And let's finish the verse. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. And again, like I said, that's what the little flock was looked upon as, a no people, a foolish nation. Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought not after me. That's one group. And I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, he was very nice on them. You know, not like the Lord was. The Lord was very bold in himself. You see, Isaiah was bold. Peter was being bold when Peter said what they did to the Lord. But Paul is saying here that, hey, Isaiah is very bold. He says, All day long I've stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. But that's what they were, disobedient. And so we want to keep that in mind. Now let's come down to Romans chapter 11, because we're going to start there next week. Because when you're dealing with Romans 9, 10, 11, they piggyback off of each other, each chapter there. Because you look at verse 1 of chapter 11. I say then, in other words, he's amplifying on what was just said prior. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And Paul is letting you know there that God has not just totally tossed them away like some denominations teach, that he's just with the assumers of Israel's kingdom. They lost out. Oh, well, so what? Now it pertains to us. But I look at verse 2. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Now, as you see here, they've been killing prophets for years. And what's being said, Israel did know. They're rejecting the counsel of God is something that they're going to have to deal with. God was righteous when he gave them preachers. It wasn't that he kept everything in the dark from them. And that's what we have a tendency to think when we look at the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when it says that the apostles didn't know his sayings. The idea is that what they didn't know was the New Testament aspect of it, that he was going to have to die and be raised again the third day. The scriptures, it was in the scriptures, but that saying was hid from them because they didn't have the understanding that they ought to have had. And so, but it wasn't God's fault. It wasn't God's fault because he didn't send a preacher, as Romans 10, verse 15 says. And because that's, you know, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. That's what they would say, but they'll say, well, we didn't have that. You didn't send anybody. And again, Israel is without excuse, folks. That's what the issue here is, and that's what we see taking place. And when you're looking at Romans 11 here, that's why Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. He hasn't totally set them aside. He's temporarily set them aside. He set them aside, so and now he's dealing with the Gentile world, which we're going to be working our way through this year. But Romans chapter 11 is more of a lengthy verse, or chapter, I'm sorry, and there's more contained in it, more different things that we can look at in there. So we're going to probably spend more time in Romans chapter 11 than we have in Romans 9 and 10. So with that, I'm going to just sum this up a little bit here about the whole idea of Romans chapter 10 before we move on to Romans 11 there. And, you know, when you come to, if you will come to chapter 10, verse 1, you know, when you're dealing with verse 1, you're dealing with verse 1 on down to verse 6, you're dealing with how Israel went after righteousness. They went after it by the law. They didn't want to seek it by faith. faith in the Christ. That's why verse 4 says, for Christ is the law, end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And they thought that they sensed that good works of the law was going to justify them. And then when you get down to you get to Romans 9 and 10, I mean, verses 9 and 10, that's the most, one of the most confused verses there for people, because it leads people to think you got to confess and believe on him. And we went over that to show that's not the case. The confession there was them confessing that they trusted in him, regardless what the outcome was. And then we came down to verses 11, actually where we are now, verses 11 through 21. And we had to do it a little section by section here. But this is explaining there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek. And the same Lord, there's just one Lord. One Lord who's rich unto all that call upon him. And that's, Paul is using some circumstances here, and he's making a challenging argument that, well, if you think this is the case, that's not the case. Or if you think this is the case, that's not the case. Because the first thing he knows that what one would say is, wait a minute, I didn't hear. I was way over in France at the time. All of Israel, the ones that were the so-called diehard Israelites or whatever, they came up to worship. They came up to worship for Pentecost and all the other feast days. They came back up there to worship. And as you see, they were preached to. They were preached to at that time there. And then you see verse 17, so their faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. They heard it. It went to all the ends of the earth. Paul says in verse 18, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words went into the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Sure they did. They're without excuse. They rejected the counsel of God onto them, and they hardened their hearts and made their ears dull of hearing. That's what they did. Well, with that, I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. Open things up for the Q&A session. And next week we're going to be in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to begin going through verses 1 through 4. Yeah, 1 through 4 there. And then we're going to work our way down. I see it fit to look into it, go a little further, like going into verse 6. Or verse 6 or 7, then I might do that to put it, I might do two of them at the same time there, two sections at the same time. So that's what we got to take a look at there. As far as the YouTube videos and things like that at the conference, if you like to watch it, if you can, if you do have access to YouTube, the videos are up there, and I can give you the link. I can either text it to you, or I can give you the name of the person that that you can enter into the YouTube search engine, and at the top of the page, and you'll be able to pull up the studies there of the conference. So I'm going to go to caller 3366. You're in the queue. Sorry, I did something, I don't know why I did that, but if you'd like to get back in the queue, just *61 will get you back into the queue. I thought they fixed that issue I had here. Let's try it again. Hello.
Why is the light going past the line?
Hey, praise the Lord, sister. How are you?
Oh, great, Michelle. It's a topic you were speaking on, and I got a problem with a lot of great women. Making a long story short about Isaiah 53 between 1 Corinthians 15. And Isaiah 53 is who wrote Isaiah, who's speaking to, they speaking to. And Isaiah's Old Testament, and Isaiah is the one who's speaking in this term about Israel. But this, in this passage, as I'm reading my studying, that he is talking about vowing for Israel's sins, for their sins, not for our sins. Because if you compare Isaiah 53 compared to 1 Corinthians 15, our gospel within Romans 2:16, Paul said, my gospel, it ain't have no comparison to what Isaiah 53 is speaking on down for Israel's sins, because the Bible says they're unique to them. From the difference between 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, for every brother I declare that I quite bad for our sins, according to the scripture. And Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and Isaiah wrote, if I'm mistaken, wrote Isaiah 53. So, and that's a difference. Passages that they are trying to mix together, saying it's the same that he's dying for our sins in Isaiah. It's the same as 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4.
Well, what you see here is what Paul is using. Paul is himself using Isaiah 53. And I know Paul is speaking of the Jew, but he's also speaking of, he starts off in Romans 10 here by saying there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we call upon the name of the Lord, we're saved also. And he says, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He's explaining that Israel had preachers preach unto them. Isaiah was preached unto them. Paul also, that's why I used Acts over there, Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, it says that he must bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and children of Israel. And this is Paul going to the Jews, preaching Jesus to the Jews. He's coming to the Gentiles, preaching Jesus to the Gentiles. And what was being spoken about in Isaiah was Jesus. Remember Philip. Philip, he preached Jesus out of Isaiah 53. And what's being said is that when it comes to the doctrine of believing on his name, just justification alone is by one man and one man only in both programs. We have a separate program from Israel as far as sanctification and our vocation. But that's why I think it's a needful thing to do that study on the name. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a study on the name and actually the blood, what that dealt with there for us and for Israel. Because as you see, Hebrews, the whole book of Hebrews deals with the blood. It talks about the blood of Christ versus the blood of the bulls and goats and what that blood accomplished. It brought in a better testament and things. So using Isaiah 53 just shows that the saints were justified onto eternal life in the Old Testament times. And Jesus was preached unto them. And that's why Paul used Isaiah 53.
Mm-hmm. So Paul talks a lot in Romans about that he prayed for Israel will be saved. You know, they will be saved. And Romans, he set them to a type of God has he cast away his people for God to do, though he has my casting. Where his people before he knew, he just set Israel to a side, then going to come back and deal with them up again. I'm sort of getting like up a second chance. But we today don't have to wait until he ain't never set us aside because we never had no contract with Jesus. You know, we never had none of that. So therefore, he's going to come and deal with them at another period of time in the future tense. Our salvation is today, right now, how we get saved today. And this is when it says, Jew or Gentile bond or free. That's if a Jew believes today the gospel, of course they can get saved. Because that's what's going on in the age of grace. If they believe it, if they believe it, of course they can be saved. That's why the scripture points out that the bond or free Jew or Gentile don't make no difference. You can get saved today. If you believe our gospel, Paul's gospel of 1 Corinthians 15 to anybody, you may so, but that's if they believe. That same way, even if a child believes.
Right.
So, you know. But I'm still with you. I'm still with you. So you're a little ahead of me a little bit. I just wanted to point that two scriptures out together because I'm still studying on it and we trying to put it together because as you read on down in Isaiah 53, we're not sheep. We're not sheep. We're faced in this house. And it says sheep. And Isaiah, I say, who wrote the book, who they talking to, and what period of time it's speaking of? Who's speaking, who they speaking to? And this is 53 is about their sins he's dying for, not ours.
It was their sins that he died for in Isaiah 53. And believe me, I'm not taking Isaiah 53 and bringing it over here and saying that that this right here is justification, that the Gentiles was in view when Isaiah wrote this. But we know that when you look in Isaiah, the Gentiles is in view in Isaiah chapter 60. He talks about the Gentiles will come to Israel's rise instead of their fall. So he does mention the Gentiles in view, but not at that verse there. But the idea is this here. When it says that Israel shall be saved, that's talking about the unbelieving Israel remnant. That's talking about the Pharisees, the ones who hardened their hearts, the gainsaying people, disobedient and gainsaying people that Paul is talking about. But Peter and the little flock, they were justified. They were justified by believing on the Redeemer before he even died. Peter could have died before the Lord died, and Peter would have been still justified because he trusted in who the Lord was.
I know Jesus. I know that by believing and faith only. That's what the scriptures say by faith only. That's what the scriptures say. Because no matter what disposition it is, only by believing. Never by works and never be by works. But I'm still studying. I'll get back with you, but I appreciate that. You want to send a CD to me?
Oh yeah. I will do that. And also, can you access YouTube?
Yes, I can. You remember when you got into my phone and everything? But it was asking for a passport, and we still couldn't get in. The only thing I seen was the picture, but we never still could get in. We tried back again.
Oh.
But it never would play for us after a while.
Okay, you know what? I sent you, I sent you Facebook. I think I sent you the link to Facebook. But I'm going to send you the link to YouTube. And you or your son should be able to pull it up. And when you go to the guy's page, there are many studies on there. And there's some studies on there with the conference on there. And that way you can look at it before you get your CDs.
Yeah, they want something to be a little easier if you have it on YouTube. You can listen on YouTube. I listen to
Yeah, Brother Leroy is on there. That's right. Yep.
Okay,
I'll send you the link to the guy's page, and you should be able to access that.
And I think that would be a lot better there. That would be a lot better there. That's a lot better. So, okay. Well, all right. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate you, and I'll send it out to you right away. The link.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right now, bye-bye.
Okay. All right. And now what we'll do is we're going to get ready to close then. And next week we are going to look at the issues in Romans chapter 11. And we're going to see what is going on with Israel here and why didn't they get what they seek after. And as we've seen, it was just more than just didn't have enough information. But with that, I'm going to close.